so confused that they weren't sure what was going on spiritually. Well, it says that the day of Christ is at hand. All right, now this phrase is actually, there are two ways to read this which is better than what it says right here. Now, I say that because the manuscripts that were used to translate this, since then we found older, better manuscripts. Thessalonians are thinking, oh, no. Now, I would be thinking the same thing. If somebody said, you are now in the tribulation, would you like to hear that? Who wants to live through the tribulation? Even post-tribbers don't want to live through the tribulation. Right? That nobody wants who knows anything about it. And no doubt, what they did was, these people that taught them this, they probably said, look at all the problems that you're experiencing. We described the difficulties of the Thessalonian church. They had immense problems right from day one, right? And they probably, I'm reading between the lines here, they probably said to them, everything was okay until all of a sudden. And here, you are really under the gun. You are being strained. Obviously, what you're doing is living in the end times, and the tribulation has come upon you. However, there was a problem with that, because back in 1 Thessalonians, Paul had written to them what he had already told them, and that was this: we, believers, are not appointed to the wrath. And that is a reference to the wrath of the tribulation. So believers are not appointed to that. So regardless of how serious their troubles were, the day of the Lord level of trouble will not affect believers. And they needed to understand, because that's what they were told. It's even what Paul wrote to them again. And now they're troubled over something else. If the day of the Lord was happening, then this means a couple of things. First, the day of the Lord events would not be literal. So if the day of the Lord was already happening in the first century to the church in Thessalonica, then the day of the Lord events are not literal. And we don't even have to have revelation to understand that the day of the Lord events, as described in the Old Testament and by our Lord in Matthew 24, are serious events where there's going to be physical changes and problems spiritual growth. That's the point of preaching. It is expected that a public teacher, a preacher, is biblically accurate. Let me ask you something. Do you come, let's just limit it to you, me, IBC, do you come to IBC expecting that I'm going to tell you a whole bunch of fabricated ideas? Do you expect that what I'm going to tell you is accurate and truthful? That's good, but it comes with its own little bit of problems. We can become so accustomed to saying, Pastor John is so brilliant, so spiritually alert to everything. We could have in our minds, I have a trustworthy pastor. He usually tells us everything that we need to know about a passage of Scripture, or whatever the thought is. And you come in without thinking. Whatever comes from the pulpit is okay. You've never heard it before. You've never read it before. You've never studied it before. And I'm telling it to you for the first time. You accept it. In one sense, I'm glad, because I do try to give you the best information, the clearest information, the most accurate information I can. But on the other hand, it is your responsibility to listen with discernment, to check out whether those things are so. So it is a potential problem in any congregation, not just at IBC, everywhere where the Word of God is proclaimed. The authoritative words spoken to the Thessalonians, if coming from a leader or an outspoken member of the congregation claiming even Pauline support, could easily disturb them because they would accept it. Oh, Paul told me to say this, so I'm going to say this, and I say it to you, and it's not even true. The verbal confirmation of this teaching did not align with Paul's earlier teaching or with his written teaching. So, the word spoken was wrong. The third one is the written letter. The letter could have come from anywhere, whether it was in the church or outside of the church, we don't know. But its claim two together and then started thinking along a certain line, and they came up with an attempt to interpret Scripture, and their interpretation was wrong. They presented to the church in all sincerity, but it was still wrong. This is a very common mistake, and it has great influence on other people. At the same time, these spoken words may have been totally fabricated and intentionally intended to provide false teaching and confusion. The third one, the letter, claiming to have come from Paul, had to be a deliberate means of mislead. Now let's go a little bit further on this. The troubling situation that the Lord had Paul attempt to correct should provide you and me with warning. Let me just give you two areas of warning for us. This is very practical, I hope. And that is public teaching and personal ideas. Now let's start with public teaching pretty quickly here. You have to be careful to accept the truth as it has been taught. Scripture says that, uses those terms. We read it in Colossians 2:7 and 2 Thessalonians 2:15 and in Titus 1:9. As it has been taught. This was necessary for first century believers. Now we're 2,000 years removed. How much more necessary is that for us? For all of those years, the church has dealt with challenges to doctrine and opinions and new ideas and special visions and claims from those in the church. People constantly claim that they've come up with some new thing, something different, something that nobody else has ever seen before. Now, that's one of those things where we all want to find something that nobody else has ever seen before. They think that what they say is going to transform Christianity. It's important to note that the church has settled the major doctrines. It has defined the minor doctrines. And it has, over all these 2,000 years, given us enough wisdom and example not to stray from its sound moorings. We should always be wary of those that claim to have a new idea or a different take on Scripture. It is always safest to rely on the sound teaching that has been standardized over many years by the majority of trustworthy saints. I don't know a better way to put it than that. A good rule of thumb is to question, i.e. doubt, anything that differs from the common teaching of sound beliefs. So that's public teaching. That's what we have to be wary of. Second one is this: personal ideas. Now, we're all Christians, I assume, in here. We're all believers. We all read the Bible. And when we read the Bible, we get some good things from it. And periodically, you see something that intrigues you. And while you are intrigued by that, you start thinking about it. And the more you think about it, the more you formulate ideas on it. The more you formulate ideas on it, the more you're settled on your ideas. Because my first thought was this, and then I build on this, and this, and this, and the more you build, the further out you go. If you're not careful, before long, you're a mile away, and you're sure about that when your initial conclusion wasn't even right. We have to hesitate to draw conclusions that are novel, or even different from the norm. We all have opinions on different matters in Scripture that we read and that we see. And sometimes these opinions seem reasonable, sometimes they seem profound, sometimes they seem really accurate. Some will even go so far as that they have studied, they have prayed about it, and they drew the conclusion by the help, by the direction of the Spirit, that such and such is true. Let me just say this. Biblical interpretation, I wish it was. It's not. Anybody that's done any Bible study to present truth realizes it takes lots of study and a long time. And usually what we end up doing is not coming up with the Lord would allow us to draw a wrong conclusion on something that I really do want to know. Something that actually is right, and that is the written word. There is nothing redeeming in a spiritually false word or document. Nothing. One last thought. This one is not in the scriptures. These are my heresies, my opinions. The author of the false letter makes the his earlier